there's no presumptuous attitude.
Okay, we talked about the molecule. The initial creation of the molecule starts with a human atom, a male and female unit. Now, like I said, these do not have to be romantically involved. That doesn't leave out people that are single. If a person is single, then he finds a working partner that balances off his energy. So Asaf over here would find a female that's charged in female energy about the same amount he is in male energy, since he's a male. So if being a single person, you can still participate in a molecule. Matter of fact, for a lot of people, it would be easier to be one with a stranger than their spouse, because they might wind up getting in a bunch of arguments with their spouse, whereas a stranger they might treat a little better. You never know. So anyway, if you get along great with your spouse and see eye to eye, then you could be a potential molecular unit with your spouse or romantic partner. Now, I've passed these out. There's about one to every three or four people. You can just kind of share it. But turn to page 90. And on page 90, there's a diagram of the initiating molecule. And you notice each unit has two circles representing the male and female together.
Completed and expanding, but where's initiated?
Yeah, this is initiating molecule. And then, once the molecule is completed, then it begins to expand. And so you have associate molecular members, and they're linked to one of the molecular members. Each associate is linked to a molecular member. And then when you get enough for a second molecule, then it divides itself. And then they organize eventually into what is called a master molecule, which is 240 units.
Triads. Yeah.
So the master molecule is composed of 20 completed molecules. And there's kind of the symbolic structure of how it would appear. And then the next step up is the pyramid molecule, composed of 12,000 male-female units. And then we have this picture here. Okay. Then turn the page. So we have the pyramid molecule, and eventually we have 12 of them, and this produces the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem molecule. It's kind of like a molecular cell, not as big as a human cell as far as atoms go, but it's a beginning of a new creation, a new life form that the world has never seen, yet it exists somewhere on other worlds that are much more advanced than this one.
It's their theory.
So what's the purpose of this? To bring more power to the planet? That when there's enough, Christ will return.
And it will create a new life form.
One molecule is a new life form, right?
What's that?
One molecule is a new life form.
Right.
Right.
Right. Like you, as a human being, are composed of many smaller lives. Each cell is a life on its own. They combine to produce greater lives, and each organ of your body is a life form all to itself that is united with other organs to create you. And in as far as spiritually, you're in the etheric body, you have the seven chakras, and each chakra is a life unto itself, and the seven chakras combine to create your consciousness the way it is now. And so you are a composite life form. Now, when the molecule is created, it will have a higher life form that the Earth has never seen, well, hasn't seen for 2,000, since the days of Jesus or Camelot. And it will have an actual entity incarnate into the molecule. And what we will do as individuals is we will be able to share the consciousness of this higher entity that incarnates into the molecule. Just like, and this is the goal of like even the cells of your body. The cells in your body, the goal of the cells in your very body are to understand you. You are a God to them, kind of. And you are a composite individual. You're a composite, yet you're complete. You're complete because you're an extension of the monad and of the higher self. And so what the smaller lives do is they try to be one in consciousness with a higher life, and when they're one in consciousness with that higher life, then they can share its attributes. So when the molecule is created, you will have a higher entity incarnate into it. Then when a master molecule is created, a higher entity still will incarnate into it with greater properties and greater potential. And when a molecule is created and a higher entity incarnates into it, we will share in its consciousness, and if you can share in its consciousness, you can then have its attributes. Everything it can do, you will be able to do, if you successfully tune into it. This is what happened with the Apostles of Jesus. Yeah.
What is the correspondence to what you're creating here with, say, like our son that we look at?
Well, the son is... Well, yeah, the sun is linked up to six other solar systems, making seven altogether. And so our sun shares the consciousness of seven different solar systems all at one time. Now, if we link up to the Christ, we can share the consciousness of everybody that's in the kingdom of God. And if we after that is successful, then the next step up is to link up with the Ancient of Days. And you can go as far as your consciousness will allow you. You're only limited by your consciousness. But right now, linking up with the Kingdom of God, the fifth kingdom of which Christ presides over, that's the big step. When you climb up a ladder, you have to go one step at a time. And the inclination of everybody is to go lots of steps at a time.
How did you get this? How did this come to you?
Excellent.
I mean, this is so rich.
Download?
That's an interesting question.
It's an interesting story. After Curtis and I were excommunicated, we come across this guy who claimed to be a prophet. His name was Bob Crossfield, who went by the name of Onias. I come across a book he had in the library, and I give it to Curtis to read. It had a bunch of his revelations in it. Boy, Curtis was really enthused. He says, "Hey, we got to get a hold of this guy." He lived all the way up in Canada. So I said, "Well, okay." So we give him a call. And he was really enthused to talk to us because no one was listening to him. So he made a trip all the way from Canada to come down and see us. He had a couple of revelations we thought were pretty good, and so we decided to make copies of them and send them out to everybody in Boise. And it really kind of laid in strong on the authorities of the church for not doing their jobs. We decided to mail these out, so we needed to get a list of all the members of the church in the whole valley, and we wanted to send them out. And so I says, I can't think of a better person to do this than Curtis. So Curtis devised a story that his brother was getting married and needed ward lists to send out invitations to, and it was the truth. His brother was getting married.
Bob Crossfield's daughter.
And so Curtis went around to all the I says, now, Curtis, if you go to the bishop, they'll get suspicious. But women don't get as suspicious as men, so go to the Relief Society president, because they also got the ward list, and they'll be a lot more helpful than the men. And it turned out to be true. So Curtis went to all the Relief Society presidents, and one by one, he got just I think we got over 90, just about every name of every Mormon in the whole valley. And there's about, I think at that time there was, 1979 or something like that. And we sent out 12 to 20,000 or something like that. We sent out a whole bunch of them. We sent out a whole bunch of them, and we waited for that phone to ring. Boy, did we get some angry calls. And they sent an apostle up here to calm everybody down. Because everybody was so upset. They flew in an apostle from Salt Lake just to calm the people down and tell them there was nothing to worry about. Just ignore those guys. But it didn't make us one convert. But sure got a lot of people mad at us.